Luke chapter 21. As I thought about what I should preach about today, as the events unfolded last week, there really wasn't much of a question in my mind. I can hardly talk about anything else in the light of the gigantic events that have taken place in just the last few days. So I've chosen to call my message today simply tsunami. One word that is on people's lips all over the planet. Luke 21, I'm going to be reading from verses 25 to 28 in just a little bit. And let's begin with prayer. We need to pray. We've got to be praying a lot these days. And so let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, again our hearts go out to the people over in India and Thailand and Indonesia and all the suffering that is going on over there. For some reason, this disaster doesn't just seem like it's something that people are watching on TV, but it really, it's just come home to us. And we've been praying for them and we feel for them and we ask that you will help them and that you will help us and that you will open our eyes to see the realities and the seriousness of the times. Please bless this message as we look at the Bible, as we look at things that are inspired by you that point to this generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. December 26, 2004. 6 miles below the surface of the Indian Ocean, off the west coast of an Indonesian island called Sumatra, the Indian plate moved sideways and downward, and it moved underneath another tectonic plate called the Burma plate. And the result of the collision of these two plates under the water resulted in what is now being called a mega thrust earthquake. It caused, it was 9.0. It caused the sea floor to rise somewhere between 30 to 90 feet. And as the ocean ground went up, this is what caused a tsunami, which is a Japanese word for a harbor wave. There's a little bit of misunderstanding. A tsunami is not actually a tidal wave. Tidal waves are connected to the sun and the moon, to the gravitational pull upon the ocean. A tsunami is different. It's technically a harbor wave that often results from earthquakes or underwater volcanoes, underwater landslides, and things like this. So anyway, this tsunami went up and it began to ripple across the Indian Ocean as it made its way toward the coastlines of 11 countries. They say that sometimes it was moving as fast as 500 miles per hour. Waves as high as 30 feet. All along the shoreline, all throughout that whole region, there were beaches and people vacationing. It was peak season, the day after Christmas. Basically, it was a lazy Sunday. And there was no warning that went out. And so people had no idea what was coming. There were a lot of people that were on the beaches. And they looked out and they saw this wave coming. And they had no idea how serious this was. And maybe you've seen some of the pictures or some of the photographs that are floating around on the internet or on CNN of people on little platforms, and they've got their cameras, their video cameras, and they're just watching this wave. And they had no idea. And I saw a number of shots where one group, they were on a little ledge, and they were taking pictures, And the wave went this way and hit a certain section. And they continued to take pictures. And then the next couple of slides showed the wave just completely overwhelming them. Overwhelming them. Some of them were probably washed one way, or some others were just sucked out into the ocean. Then there were other people, I'm sure, that didn't see it coming at all. They were probably sitting in little hotels or little huts or little restaurants, and they had no idea until the water was upon them. And that was it. To date, the death toll, from what I just read recently, Indonesia, it's 80,000. Sri Lanka, almost 30,000. India, approximately 9,000. Thailand, 5,000. 6,500 people missing, presumed dead. And the saddest thing, I mean, there's just so many things, but one of the saddest things about the whole thing is that they're saying that a third or more of the casualties were children. They're now pushing the number closer to 150,000. Some agencies are saying it's going to get to 200,000. Nobody knows at this point. A lot of people are saying that it's the worst is still to come because of the diseases and the lack of water and just a lot of things that are resulting from the bodies. The language that is being used, that is being reported in the news, I think is very significant. It's being called, quote, the worst disaster in history. It's also being called the most expensive disaster in history. Also, the largest relief effort in history. One reporter said that the tragedy has touched all corners of the globe, and somebody else said that this is a tragedy of biblical proportions. So you just look at the language that's being used. I mean, in this last week, we have definitely seen something big. Kristen and I, in our home, we have just a little TV set that's in one room. It's not in our living room, and we don't watch a lot of TV. And we don't really get much reception there anyway. We have Sky Angel, so we can watch the Christian channels. But over the holidays, we were at my dad's up through Christmas, and then on Sunday we went out to my mother's in Palm Springs. And my mom and her husband, they have a TV in almost every room. And some of them are big. And so because the disaster hit Sunday and we were there through Thursday, the TV was on quite a bit. And we were watching CNN and just the major news channels. And it was just so real. It is real. It's not a movie. It's not something that we can just change a channel. It wasn't produced by Hollywood. This is definitely something that's happening. Has happened and is going to continue to happen. If you have your Bibles, let's take a look at Luke 21. As I thought about all of this, my mind has been directed to a number of scriptures. And I want to share these texts with you today because I think they're very, very significant. Luke 21, verses 25 to 28. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said this 2,000 years ago. Especially talking about the times right before His return. In verse 25, Jesus said, there shall be, and what's that next word? Signs. Right, now I'm reading from the King James Bible. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Signs up there. Now I don't claim to know everything about what all this means, but I have a feeling we're going to be seeing some more things up in the sky in the days ahead. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And then Jesus said, upon the earth there would be distress of nations. Whole nations. Nations around the world would be distressed. And I can't hardly think, at least in my lifetime, of a disaster that has commanded the attention of nations all over the planet. Now, notice, right below that, verse 25, Jesus said, distress of nations with perplexity, and then what did he say? He said, the sea and the waves would be roaring. That's what the word tsunami means. Harbor, wave. And Jesus Christ, in this verse, talking about the end times, talking about the signs in the sun, the moon, and upon the earth, he specifically said that the sea and the waves would be roaring. Now, I don't know if that verse jumps out at you, but it sure jumps out at me. And this is exactly what we've seen happening. The waves roared across the Indian Ocean. Seeing the waves roaring. I used to think that this was more of a sort of a symbolic text. You know, that maybe he was just talking about the people. Like in Revelation, it talks about the water represents the people. But I don't think that now. I mean, this is pretty literal. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. Now, that's an amazing text. People can, Jesus said they're going to be looking after the things which are coming upon the earth. Now, to me, this verse is definitely describing our generation. It's describing a time period in Earth's history when, as a result of television and satellite and just photography and news agencies, people can actually look, as they sit in their living rooms or on the internet, they can look at the things that are coming upon the earth. Or the things that have just happened in a way that we've never been able to see before. As I've thought about this, I've wondered, you're probably aware that there's a lot of discussion about whether this can happen on our end of the world. Could something like this happen out in the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean? And the answer is yes. Yes. And I can just imagine, let's say something, there was a big quake out in the Pacific, and the ocean floor went up, and a tsunami began working its way toward California. And let's say by this time now, they were a lot more prepared, and there was more of a warning system in place, and seismologists picked up the quake, and satellite photography went down, and they saw this wave, and the word was sent immediately to the news agencies, and here people could be in California. They could be in Cambria. They could be watching the news, and they could be watching the footage of a wave coming right that direction. It's not impossible. Jesus said that people are going to be looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then verse 27, what's the next event? After people are looking at all these things, and the sea and the waves are roaring and all these things are happening, what's the next event? Jesus said, then shall they see the Son of Man. Wow. Coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I wonder if CNN's going to pick that up. I wonder. We've got a lot of high technology these days, and you know, people can take pictures of what's going on up there, and I just wonder. I wonder if part of what they see coming upon the earth is going to be the Son of Man coming down from the sky. That's possible. But again, verse 25 talks about the signs and the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26 talks about hearts failing and people looking at those things coming upon the earth. And then verse 27 is the return of Jesus Christ. That tells me we're getting close. If you look in your bulletin, there's quite a few quotes on the back. And I encourage you to read these quotes and think about them. Meditate on them if you haven't read them already. It says, words of inspiration, and there's the text in Luke 21. And then a couple paragraphs down below that, right in the middle, it says, the signs are thickening around us. Maybe actually I'll read the one right before that. It says, we hear now of earthquakes in diverse places, of fires, of tempests, of disasters by sea and by land, of pestilence and famine. What weight do these signs have upon you? This is only the beginning of what shall be. And then the next line says, the signs are thickening around us, telling us telling of the near approach of the Son of God. And they are being attributed to any other than their true cause. The true cause is the Lord is talking to this planet. He's talking to us, and He is telling us that we are getting closer to the coming of the Son of God. Wow. Maybe He'll come in 2005. Maybe this is it. I hope so. I think we're getting very, very close. The next verse, verse 28, Jesus said, when these things that He just talked about, the sea and the waves and all these things, when these things begin to come to pass, then what should we do? He said, then look up. When these things begin to come to pass. So there's a preliminary period where they're starting to happen more and more and more. When these things begin to come to pass, then where should we be looking? He said, look where? Look up. That's right. For your redemption is drawing near. I mentioned this last night at our little New Year's Agape Feast that I saw. It was years ago, but it still is in my mind. I saw a little comic strip. And there was a number of little frames. And the first frame was a picture of an egg. And there was a chicken in the egg, but you didn't see that in the first picture. And then the next frame showed the little chicken popping his head out from the egg. And he was looking to the right. And then it had words that he was looking at. It said things like war and disaster. And then the next frame showed the little chicken, and he was looking to the left. And there were other words like hurricanes and earthquakes. And then there was the next frame, and he was looking in front of him. And there were other words like violence and crime. And then the next frame had him looking behind him. And there were other words like tornadoes and fires and floods. And then the last frame, there was one more frame, was just a picture of an egg. And the little chicken had gone back inside. Because he had looked in front of him, he looked behind him, he looked to the right, he looked to the left. And everywhere he looked, he saw all these terrible things, and he decided, I'm not coming out. I'm going back. And somehow as I thought about that, I thought about this verse. That the chicken forgot to look in one direction. He did not look up. That's right. He looked all the other places, didn't look up. And we can be very, very, we can just be, I mean, there's been a cloud, I'm sure, over all of us this last week, just thinking about all the suffering that's going on. And we can just get so, so depressed in the midst of all of this. But the Lord wants us to be looking up. And the reason is because hope is coming from the sky. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Hallelujah. So that's the goal of all this. That's the end of everything, really, is the coming of Jesus. Our redemption. The word redemption means He's coming to get us out of here. He's coming to get us out of here, off of this planet, away from all the suffering that is happening. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. There's quite a few verses that have really just jumped out at me as I've thought about the events of the last week. Revelation chapter 16. Take a look at verses 17 and 18. Revelation 16. 17 and 18. This is the end of the plagues, the final seven last plagues that will happen right before Jesus comes. Verse 17 says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great, what? A great earthquake. Right, which... There was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Now the one that hit here in Paso Robles was what was that, two Decembers ago, December 22nd, that was 6.5. That was a big shake, wasn't it? Most of us felt that. We were right here in the middle of it. 6.5. The one that took place last Sunday was 9.0. How big do you think this one's going to be? That one was under the water, and it just caused a wave. This one, it says, is going to be so great that there's never been an earthquake like it. It says, so mighty an earthquake, so great. And then verse 19 says, as a result of it, the cities of the nations fell. And cities around the world are just going to crumble down. And as I think about this quake, I can't help think about Jesus' words where he said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads. We're in the preliminary stages. And things are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until the biggest quake, and finally, Jesus Christ comes. That is what is on the horizon. If you look at verse 19, or verse 20, verse 20 says that every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. I found that interesting about the islands. Now, there's another verse about the islands. If you look at chapter 6, look at Revelation chapter 6, and notice what it says about the islands. Revelation 6, verse 14. This is probably connected to the earthquake. Revelation 6 describes similar things as to what's in Revelation 16. 6:14 says, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were what? They were moved out of their places. Now, a lot of people think the book of Revelation is just totally symbolic. It's all an allegory. Now, there is symbolism, no question about it, but there are a lot of things that are literal, just straight out. Straight out. And this verse says that when the final time comes, it says every island was moved. The islands will be moved. Now, some people might think, that's impossible. How can an island move? Well, guess what? An island moved last Sunday. I don't know if you heard this or not, but the island of Sumatra, which is where the heaviest damage was in that area, which was not far from the epicenter of the quake, we're being told that island actually moved 100 feet to the south and to the west. Wow. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. The Bible says the islands are going to move. We just saw an island move. The Bible says there's going to be a big earthquake. We just saw a big earthquake. The sea and the waves roaring. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. Pointing to the coming of Jesus. Let's look at another verse. Go to Isaiah chapter 24. This chapter also talks about the end of the world and what's going to be happening. And we're seeing the preliminary stages. It's awesome. Isaiah 24, verse 5. 24:5. Verse 5 says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. One of the reasons for the disasters and the outworking of sin in this world, it says, is because the earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. When we did our radio program on this on Wednesday, it was a live one-hour call-in program, talked all about this, and a number of people called in. I'm sure Ivor and Atante remember this. One lady, I don't remember her name. Do you remember the lady's name? She was from New Mexico, I think she was calling in. Mary Lou. Mary Lou. She called in, and she basically said, this is just something for you to think about. She said she didn't claim to really understand everything. But she said that Indonesia and Thailand are places where a lot of the children, when you see their pictures in post offices and on milk cartons, and in Walmart, disappearing people, a lot of them end up in that part of the world. There's a major trade going on over there. And I'm sure there was a lot of innocent people, no question about it. But there may be some connection. I don't know. I do know that when I believe it was in 1994, there was a big quake that hit Southern California. And the epicenter was in Northridge. Do you remember that? I went to school at Cal State Northridge. I actually lived right down the street from an apartment complex that was three stories, and it went down to two story as a result of that quake. And what most people don't know is that Northridge, the epicenter of the quake, is actually a center of the production of videos about children that should never be watched. Pornographic videos. A lot of it are produced there in Northridge. And that place got hit. I know there's innocent people all around the world. But somewhere in the midst of these things, the Lord is trying to talk to us. Take a look at your bulletin again. And I'm not saying God causes things. The way I see it, as I've thought about this and wrestled with this, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, that introduced an element of chaos and disorder into God's perfect world. And God has been holding on to these things since the very beginning. But as time goes on, He selectively or progressively simply withdraws His hand over the forces of chaos that are threatening just to go crazy. And things start happening. Here's a quote here at the bottom of your bulletin. It says, apparently these calamities are capricious outbreaks of disorganized, unregulated forces of nature. That's what people think. Apparently this is just totally haphazard and random, wholly beyond the control of man. But then it says, but in them all, in all of these things, God's purpose may be read. They are among the agencies by which He seeks to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. That's why He allows these things. To wake people up to a sense of their danger. If you go back to Isaiah 24, look down at verses 17 to 19. It says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that comes out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do what? Shake. This verse says the foundations of the earth are going to be shaking. Verse 19 says the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth is going to move. Perhaps you heard or read these sentences as they were reported in the news. One reporter said, quote, all the planet is vibrating. Did you hear that? The Bible says the earth's going to be moved. It says the island's going to be moved. We saw an island move. It says the earth is going to be moved here. And this is what people are saying. Here's another report. And I wrote this down word for word. It said geologists are saying it set the whole earth vibrating and it interfered with earth's rotation to the degree that time stopped for 3 microseconds. Wow. So the earth actually changed a little bit. Its planetary rotation was affected by this 9.0 quake. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. The islands are starting to move. The earth's rotation is starting to change. These are just preliminary. This is God's way of talking to His world, to talking to His people and telling them that we're getting closer to His return. 1 Thessalonians 5, a couple more texts. Something else that has impressed me, and that has to do with the whole idea of no warning. And it just amazes me that the tsunami can hit Indonesia, and word doesn't get over from there all the way over to Sri Lanka, and so they had no warning. I mean, they didn't all happen at the same time. There was time between from one wave hitting one coast to another. But there was no warning. Nowhere. Reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3. Paul wrote, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then what will happen?" It says, "Then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." This verse is describing no warning. It's describing the day of the Lord hitting just like a thief. And people are not prepared. But that's just the people of the world. If you look at the next verse, we are not to be like that. The world doesn't have a warning. But we are to know what's going on. Verse 4, Paul says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." See, it's going to be to the world without warning because they're not listening to the Bible. They're not listening to God's Word, so they don't know. But again, verse 2, Paul says, "For yourselves know perfectly." We're to know perfectly that these things are coming. We're to see the signs. We're to catch the echo of the fulfillment of prophecy. And we're to know what is coming. Let me share something else with you that fascinated me. I shared this last night about the animals. Did you hear about the animals? Well, on this island, I guess it's an island, Sri Lanka, there is still what's left of it, a wildlife preserve, a national park. And it had lots of animals, big animals, like elephants and, let's see, what do we got here? Buffalo, deer, all kinds of animals. And the water went through a large part of that park. And there were people that worked at the park, one man who was the manager of a hotel. His hotel was totally destroyed. And afterwards, when the water went down, people looked at the damage, and there was a lot of human bodies that had been washed up against trees and who had been killed as the water went through the park, but there was not one dead animal body anywhere. And they thought, this is amazing. And the title here of this article, I got it from Associated Press, says, "Tsunami kills few animals in Sri Lanka." It says, "Wildlife officials in Sri Lanka expressed surprise Wednesday that they found no evidence of large-scale animal deaths from the tsunami, indicating that the animals may have sensed the wave coming, and they fled to higher ground." Smart animals. And then it says here, an Associated Press photographer who flew over the national park in an Air Force helicopter saw abundant wildlife, including the elephants, the buffalo, the deer, and not a single animal corpse. Not even one. "The floodwaters swept through the park, uprooted trees, toppled cars onto their roofs. One car even ended up on the top of a tree." This is very interesting, this man who owned the restaurant said, or the hotel. He said, "I'm finding bodies of humans, but I have yet to see even one dead animal." Maybe what we think is true, he said, that animals have a sixth sense. I thought about that. I thought, well, wow, you know, what happened? Maybe they felt the earthquake and they knew that it was coming. I don't know. Somehow, but they knew in advance. It's coming and we're getting out of here and we're heading up to higher ground. Now, isn't that God's message for us, the first day of the new year, as we think about 2005, as we look at these things that are beginning to come to pass? The Lord wants us to be like the animals. He wants us to have that sixth sense. He wants us to look and realize that it's coming. And if we do, there won't be one dead corpse left on earth from us when Jesus Christ comes. The Lord is calling us up to higher ground. What do you say? Higher ground. Higher ground than we've ever been on. Higher ground in our relationship with Christ than we've ever had. He wants a real, living experience with Him. God is calling you to higher ground. And He's calling me to higher ground. Last text. Psalm 46. This is a great psalm. In the midst of all the disasters and crisis and earthquakes and tsunamis and suffering and whatever else, the Lord has a word for us. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. This is a great psalm. May this become more meaningful to us as we enter 2005. The Bible says, God is our what? Our refuge. Right? God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Praise the Lord. We will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. In the midst of all of this, we don't need to be afraid. Verse 10 and 11, the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I found it very interesting as I read a CNN report that they were recommending what to do if you happen to find yourself on a beach somewhere that is overcome by a tsunami. What do you do? Well, first thing to do is do what the animals did. They said as soon as you have any inkling that this is coming, head to higher ground. That's the first thing. The second thing they said, and I'll quote it exactly. It says, if you are swept into the waves, climb onto something that floats. If you're swept into the waves, climb onto something that floats. Maybe you heard the story about the... I heard she was 20 days old, and I heard 26 days old, a little baby that was floating on a mattress. And they found the little baby, and they rescued this baby and reunited him or her back to his or her family. And I thought, wow, that little baby somehow got onto something that floats. If you look on the cover of your bulletin, there's something that's floating right there, right? If you look on the cover of your bulletin, there you see a cross rising up out of the waves. And I think it's good advice from CNN that if you find yourself in the midst of the waves, and we're all in the midst of the waves, aren't we, in one way or another, the waves of this world, the waves of temptation, the waves of sin, the waves of crisis, that hit our families, that hit our personal lives, that hit in all kinds of ways. In the midst of all of this, since we've been swept into the waves of this world, the Lord's counsel to us is to climb onto something that floats. And that which will never go down is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ will never go down. And whatever we have to go through in this world, if we climb onto something that floats, onto Jesus, we will be secure. Again, verse 10 says, be still. The Lord says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. What will 2005 bring? I don't know. This may be the last year before Jesus comes. There may not be another Christmas next year. We do know the sea and the waves are roaring, right? We know that. We know an island moved. We know that the gravitation of the earth has been affected. The planet's rotation was affected. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, look up. For your redemption is drawing near. We will soon see the return of the Son of God, and now is the time. There's ever been a time, as we start this new year, now is the time to embrace the one that will never go down, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, who died for you and your families, for me, for all of us. And He's, even though there's going to be a lot of heartache ahead of us, it does have a happy ending. The Lord is coming to get us out of here and to take us home. Let's pray. Dear Father, Father, please help us to be like the animals on Sri Lanka who sensed in advance the rapidly approaching waves, and their bodies weren't left on the ground. Lord, may we sense in these events that your coming is drawing near. We again pray for the people over there. We pray that you will comfort those that are suffering, that those that still need to be rescued, that the angels will go to them and help them, that you will help the relief effort, that you will help us to do our part and to give. And Lord, may we all realize the signs of the times. As we enter this new year, may we cling to you like we never have before. Bring us all to higher ground and prepare us for the return of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.